CJSF 90.1, broadcasting live from up on Burnaby Mountain. At CJSF, we air public service announcements for not-for-profit community groups, organizations, and events. And we encourage you to submit a PSA and to please send it by email to cjsfpsa@sfu.ca. Be sure to include the details, like the name and contact information for the organization, date, time, location, and a short description of the event or service. Send your PSA information to cjsfpsa@sfu.ca.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
Do you find yourself lacking the energy to do the things you love to do and, in general, missing out on parts of your life? Are you feeling tired much of the time, anxious and overwhelmed? Do you long to move through life with more vitality, ease, and love for yourself, for those close to you, and for all the human family? Then you are not alone. There are many of us feeling like we could use some help in finding successful strategies to improve our health and well-being. Today we'll be exploring a map to vitality with our guest, Dr. Deborah Zucker, who has many suggestions as to how to listen to what our bodies are trying to tell us in terms of health and well-being. Dr. Deborah Zucker is a naturopathic physician and transformational health coach who helps people find and transform their fundamental relationship to health. She's the founder of Vital Medicine and offers many virtual and retreat-based programs. She holds a doctorate in naturopathic medicine from Bastyr University, where she has also served as adjunct faculty. She's the author of The Vitality Map, A Guide to Deep Health, Joyful Self-Care, and Resilient Well-Being. Join us for the next hour as we explore a roadmap to health and well-being with our guest, Dr. Deborah Zucker. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Deborah, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a joy to be here.
It's a joy to have you. First of all, I would love for you to talk about your view of what does vitality have to do with our health. We don't usually put those two words together.
Well, that makes me feel sad that we don't put those two words together, because for me, I mean, vitality is the essence of what it is to be alive. You know, our life energy is moving through us and expressing itself uniquely in each of us. And our vitality is that. It's us being alive and in our bodies and living life with the level of well-being and health that is essentially our birthright. And so for me, they're in a way, they're one and the same, even if our language and our culture doesn't emphasize that.
Well, exactly. And I know that you use a metaphor throughout your book and throughout your work of us being learning to be gardeners of our own health, like using that analogy. Can you kind of tell us what you mean by that?
Yes, I love that analogy, because all of us, whether we're gardeners or not, have a sense of what it is to plant a seed and give it the soil around it proper attention and nourishment and water, and then the sun comes in and this magical thing happens where the seed, you know, sprouts and bursts through the soil, and then this plant just grows up and blossoms and blooms and fruits, and all that we're doing as a gardener essentially is tending that soil and making sure it gets what it needs. And then the rest of it is happening from that innate vitality, that innate life force that expresses itself through that plant. And so for me, the analogy is so apt for us as human beings to see ourselves as the gardeners of ourselves. You know, how do we tend and cultivate our own soil of our life? How do we acknowledge that that same life force, that same life energy, and that seed that sprouts and the plant that emerges is also in us? And so really our role is tending to ourselves, being stewards and gardeners of ourselves in a way where we offer ourselves that same attention, where we give ourselves the nourishment that we need. We watch for the feedback when things might get a little off balance, and we you know, gently and lovingly, you know, tend ourselves to move ourselves into a state of greater vitality again. And for me, that's kind of foundational to what it is to be alive, even though that's not part of the cultural language or constructs that most of us are oriented around. You know, our health and self-care ends up being kind of compartmentalized into one thing or a list of to-dos. But being a gardener of ourselves is really a more essential role that shifts the orientation to a deeper level.
And so I know that so many of us don't do that kind of gardening, yet we garden other people's gardens. Mm-hmm. Like we care for others, we put them first, and so often we're not looking at ourselves and helping ourselves. Do you find that you have many clients come to you like that?
I would say most of us. It's sort of like a modern plague in a way. And particularly the people that I tend to work with are people who are very, you know, aware and have a lot of sense of responsibility for helping to support other people and support the trajectory of our planet and everything that's going on. So there's a lot of giving and sharing that's happening. And yet there's a disconnect where, as you're just speaking to, it goes out and it goes out and it goes out. And that same level of care and attention and love and kindness isn't necessarily directed towards ourselves. And there's nothing sustainable about that. You know, it's like we're giving without replenishing.
Right. And so we're depleted.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know that you have many principles that you mention in your vitality map. One of them I think is really interesting is you bring up the shadow. It's one of the early ones that you bring up right away, the shadow, talk about the shadow. Why is it important for us? And what do you mean by the shadow, to look at our shadow?
Yeah, well, I'm referring to shadow kind of in the way of Jung, you know, so the Jungian philosophy, where there's aspects of ourselves that we are unconscious to, that are maybe just out of our view or deep down in the recesses of ourselves, and we haven't integrated them into ourselves. And these aspects of ourselves can be kind of running the show behind the scenes. But, you know, in our health and self-care, it can show up in the way of we might really have these intentions of things that we want to be doing to support ourselves and have a clear idea of what might actually bring us more alive in our life. But then we watch ourselves like constantly going into avoidance patterns or self-sabotaging or somehow not being able to stay with it.
Like an example would be?
An example would be like, someone who really wants to get into shape. You know, it's like they have these intentions, they want to exercise, and yet, you know, they might get a burst of energy around it and sign up, you know, like the New Year's resolution thing. You know, they sign up and they go to the gym for maybe a week or two and they're really excited about it. And then, yeah, they fall off that rhythm. And that pattern can happen over and over and over again. And it feeds the sense of self-judgments and shame and all these critical voices in us. And the result is a sense of, you know, a person really taking it on as there being something wrong with themselves. And it creates a sense of isolation around how they're caring for themselves and a sense of, yeah, that there's something wrong, that they can't do it.
So even shame can show up.
Shame is huge. Yeah, and for me, the shame and shadow territory, they're intricately linked. And this is a territory that really isn't talked about in the realm of health, medicine, self-care. So all these people are trying all these different protocols and going at it and then getting discouraged. But the thing underneath it, that shadow territory of these underlying beliefs and assumptions and traumas and woundings and things that might be guiding us in ways that we're not really conscious of, aren't being brought into the light.
You know, I know that you mentioned in that part of the your work, you mentioned something called voice dialogue. And I just want to say that that was established by Sidra and Hal Stone. And they've been on the program several times. And when they were on early on, Michael and I, my former partner who is now deceased, but Michael and I went to do some sessions with them. And I was so pleased to see voice dialogue there in your book because we were so supported by that. Can you describe a little bit of what that is?
Yeah, essentially voice dialogue acknowledges that there's all these different perspectives inside of ourselves. And in a sense, there's an unlimited number of perspectives that we can try on. And what can happen for us as we're moving through our lives is that certain voices or certain perspectives kind of get really loud. And they're so loud, in fact, that we identify with them as being, you know, that's me, that's my voice. And the reason that I've really embraced this technique in my approach is that those voices that get really loud in our self-care journey often are the really harsh ones, the self-critical ones, the ones that beat us up for not being good enough or not doing all the things we're supposed to be doing. And what the voice dialogue does is it allows us to gently sort of invite other voices to the table. Like I imagine, like I picture it as like there's this round table with all these different perspectives and there's some that are loud, but then we start consciously inviting some other perspectives in, like a nurturing voice or the voice that has our back, or, you know, one of my favorites is the mama bear voice, you know, so like some of these other voices that might actually be loving and kind, but also help us and support us to step into what we're trying to manifest and create in our lives. So when these more quiet voices are invited to the table, essentially what we can do is to feed those pathways so that we begin to give them more voice. And over time, as we do that, as we acknowledge these voices that have been talking, we've been hearing all the time, okay, I hear you. You know, they're not going to go away necessarily. But what happens as we start inviting these other voices is that they gain more strength and energy. And we start to be able to shift our perspective and treat ourselves with a very different approach to how we're guiding ourselves and nurturing ourselves in our self-care journey.
Very nice. Very nice. Another point that you make is to listen to our bodies, to start to learn the language of our bodies. Mm-hmm. And that's something that it's a whole language that we have to learn to pay attention to. And we're not so used to that.
No, it feels sad to me that, you know, this is something that most of us were never taught. It's kind of like you're saying, a foreign language. And yet each of us, we're the only ones who have the capacity to receive the feedback that's coming all the time. Every single choice we're making in our life is so giving us feedback.
We're going to talk more about that in just one moment. I want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Dr. Deborah Zucker, and she's the author of The Vitality Map, A Guide to Deep Health, Joyful Self-Care, and Resilient Well-Being. And if you want to know more about her work, you can go to her website, vitalmedicine.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Dr. Deborah Zucker. She's a naturopathic physician and the author of The Vitality Map, a guide to deep health, joyful self-care, and resilient well-being. Deborah, we're talking about self-awareness and learning the language of the body. One of the things that that really got my attention of the things that we can notice about our body and notice and stop and take some note. One is fatigue. That's a big one. We can notice that. But there's another one that you had in there that I thought, well, now, isn't that interesting? If we notice that we cannot keep our attention on something, one thing, for very long. That was an interesting one. That's a feedback for what?
Well, when we can't keep our attention there very long, for me, like sometimes what's going on, and this, I'm not sure if this is what you're referring to, is that it can be uncomfortable, right? It's as our awareness begins to grow and we begin to notice more about what's happening in relation to all the choices that we're making, we can start to become hyper aware. And with that, that creates a discomfort and we want to turn our attention away and look at something else. And for me, what I do with my clients is actually suggest that they stay there for a while and build up that muscle of attention to stay with some of what's uncomfortable to see. Because sometimes as we become more self-aware, we start to see these patterns that we may have been having for years. And that can cause some grief, that can cause, you know, some of those voices of self-judgment to come up. But it's really vital to stay there with that, because what you learn about yourself through watching these patterns and being in direct, honest relationship with them actually allows you to then create strategies for yourself of new action steps, new creative solutions that can move you in a different direction so that you're not repeating the same thing over and over again.
And fatigue is another body feedback, or noticing food allergies would be another body feedback. And when you say to figure out new strategies, I also like it that you say when you experiment, like we don't have to just absolutely say, okay, this is the new way and this is my new regime and this is what I'm going to do. But you're a little more gentle about it. Can you describe that?
Yeah, this key of experimentation is so huge. It's really, it's one of those simple things that we can begin to try, but at the same time can be revolutionary. Because as you're saying, you know, so many of us approach our health and self-care in a very linear way where we try and will ourselves into these protocols or things we're supposed to be doing. And as a result, you know, it can feel like we're in sort of a prison, that health and self-care becomes like this really hard thing to do. And the orientation of experimentation frees us from that. It actually allows us to be creative and playful and curious, where we create a strategy and we simply try it on for a while. I typically with clients suggest 2 weeks. You know, you come up with an experiment and keep it simple. You know, don't try and change a million things all at once. Just keep it simple. Try it for 2 weeks and see what happens. And the whole time you're observing yourself. So you're increasing that awareness. You're watching what happens. At the end of 2 weeks, you take stock. Like, what did I like about that? What didn't I? What worked? What didn't? And then you tweak the experiment. Or if it was something that really didn't go well, you scrap it and you create a whole new experiment. So it creates a sense of dynamic energy and creativity to how you're caring for yourself, which is a much better match for our vitality, because we're not static, we're not linear, our lives are always changing, and this keeps us in the flow of that.
You know, I started a program of weight management, and in that I knew that I had to exercise, and they're you know, suggesting that you exercise. They don't say you have to do an hour a day or anything, just 5 minutes a week, you know, I mean, it was very, very gentle. And I resisted that. I just thought, oh, I hate to exercise. It is so boring. And then I did some writing around that. And then I realized, wait a minute. And this is kind of going along with your experimentation. Now, wait a minute. If I'm going to wait for exercise to be joyful, I'll never start. And so what I did, I thought, well, what could I do that is exercise that might give me some joy? And I thought, I could dance. I could dance 5 minutes a day, you know? And now, Deborah, I'm up to dancing an hour a day, but I do it in short little segments. I do them like 5 minutes at a time. I take these breaks during the day, and I put on my headphones, and I go into my kitchen, and I just let it rip. And it is joyful. So that was an experiment, an example of an experiment that worked.
That's such a beautiful example. And that really embodies what I try to encourage people to do, where you step out of the box of what you think exercise or whatever you're trying to change is and what other people have told you you're supposed to do, and get creative. Like take a first step like you did, where it's gentle, it doesn't feel that intimidating, you can try it on and get the feedback. Have it be something that's playful and fun and joyful. And you know, if you can bring social aspect into it, that's great too. So that it's something that nourishes you in a number of different ways. And, you know, it's amazing, all these words that can become triggering, like the word exercise. Instead, like, what if it was just about moving your body in some way? And you found that. You discovered that with your dance.
Yeah. And you've mentioned playful on several occasions. And I know that you've quoted Stuart Brown, who is, he started the Institute for Play, I think, and has been a guest on New Dimensions. Mm-hmm. And he said that that play is a profound biological process. And we're so serious in this culture. We just, you know, got to save the world and got to do better for ourselves. And we forget about play.
We do. And it's so sad. It's really such a fundamental, you know, animal life energy in us. And to nurture that and let loose and allow ourselves, you know, as adults, it's like these days we need to give ourselves permission to tap into that creative, innocent, playful, free, uninhibited energy in ourselves, because there's so much that nourishes us on all levels with that.
And this shifts our vitality, doesn't it? Can you say something about that?
Yeah, well, I'm sure we've all had experiences of that. I mean, maybe when you dance, you know, or I often suggest to people I'm working with, like, can you tap into a childhood memory where you just felt like you were just, your heart was wide open and you were free. And oftentimes those things, like I remember a client saying when he bikes, like that energy comes back for him. So we all have those things that we know that we've experienced in our life, and to really trust that as a starting place. And then from there, you can experiment and find other things that elicit that for you. It's almost like opening up, you know, opening up and building a muscle around play, because there's nothing serious about our vitality. I mean, yes, we have serious emotions and our life has a whole spectrum, but our vitality, you know, wants to be free. Our life energy wants to be self-expressed.
And that goes along with your idea of aligning with your yes, you know, and finding your inner GPS system. So what's our inner GPS system?
Well, I love that analogy of the GPS, because, you know, aligning with your yes for me is about tuning in and trusting that sense of inner guidance of what is it that brings us alive in life, you know, and each of us that's unique in any given moment, what that is. And the GPS, you know, it recalibrates from wherever you're at. So it acknowledges, like, again, we're not a linear being. Life is going to throw us all sorts of things, and we're going to be navigating, and it's going to be disorienting at times, but at any given moment, we can tune into that inner guidance, that inner GPS, and recalibrate for that next step forward in a way where we're choosing to step into that yes, to step into our deepest yearnings, to step into what our vitality is calling for, you know, what our life energy needs as, you know, as that gardener of ourselves to blossom and bloom and come alive in that moment.
And when you mention gardener, I know that you also say we need to know our inner no, and you use the analogy of pruning. So we need to look at carefully at, okay, what describe what a sucker is. I love that whole analogy that you use.
Yeah, so the analogy is pruning a fruit tree. So fruit trees, you know, if we don't ever prune them, they'll just keep growing and growing, and, you know, branches will cross over each other, so they'll shade themselves out. And then there's what are called suckers, which are essentially branches on fruit trees that go straight up, and they don't blossom and bloom and produce fruit. They're just branches that are sticking straight up. And so what that does for the tree is that a lot of the life energy are going into these branches that aren't actually producing anything. It's not part of the blossoming and blooming of the tree. And the same analogy can be applied to us. You know, if there are things in our life that we're investing our life energy into that actually aren't aligned for us, it's like these suckers where we're feeding all this life energy into things that aren't actually allowing us to step into our full expression in life, to really feel vital. So the pruning is an acknowledgement that having the courage to say no, to clip away and prune away some of these aspects that aren't really aligned, allows more of that natural life energy to go and feed our blossoming.
So when you talk about that, Deborah, mm-hmm. it just reminds me of how holistic your approach is. It's mm-hmm. not just, your physical body of what you eat and how much sleep you get, and all of that is important. Mm-hmm. But when you talk about pruning, I think that you mentioned looking at our belongings. Mm-hmm. What are we taking care of? What are our belongings? Looking at our clutter, looking at our commitments. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we're volunteering too much and just and it's just giving all our energy to something else and not to what gives us our own vitality or relationships or even beliefs. So when you're talking about pruning, it's a whole area that you're asking us to look at.
Yes, and that's the thing that feels key that is often missing, even in approaches, you know, that consider themselves to be holistic. Like for me, it's about every single choice that we're making in our lives. It's about every aspect of how we're moving through relationships, through work, through home, through our passions, through how we, you know, care for this physical body. You know, every single choice that we're making affects our state of vitality. So the realm of health is all of it. It's our entire life. It's not relegated to just, you know, doing the right diet and the right exercise. Those things are important, but every single choice, and this was key for me in my own healing journey, that, you know, if I wasn't choosing things that were aligned for me, it was like, you know, a bucket with a hole in the bottom, and my life energy was just draining out. And I see this all the time where people are doing all the right things to take care of themselves, but this part of aligning with what's our unique truth, our unique passions, our unique things that light us up and help us to shine, if they aren't there, then the vitality can be very subdued.
I want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Dr. Deborah Zucker. She's the author of The Vitality Map, a guide to deep health, joyful self-care, and resilient well-being. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions